Thank you, Jerry. Joey, we'll talk to you guys bright and early tomorrow morning. And right now, we'll talk to all y'all out there, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays get good and thumped, and it's not something that we've been able to say many times this season. If memory serves, this is the ninth time all year, just the ninth time all season where the Blue Jays did not get the tying run, at least to the on-deck circle, in the eighth inning or later. They lose 10-2 to the Baltimore Orioles, still a half-game lead over the New York Yankees in the AL East. Yankees beat the Rays today. And this is the first time in 9 days that the Blue Jays and Yankees have had different results. They've stayed neck and neck at a game and a half back since then. Now, the Yankees are the first one to make a move, and they pick up a game. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays get thumped. They still have the same record after 134 games as that 1992 first Blue Jays World Series champion. We're going to lead things off by heading out west. Marty is in Calgary. You're first up on Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
All right, Marty.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up the issue of how many times that the Jays go down looking, you know, with a full count. And it just drives me nuts. You know, it seems that it's been going on all year. And I just don't understand it, you know. It just seems like it's such a basic thing that you learn, you know. You got to protect the plate with a full count. And so many guys just stand there looking.
I got to tell you, out of all the things to nitpick the by far best offense in the major leagues about, this is a new one. I haven't heard this one yet. The Blue Jays, I got to tell you, I think it's rather a large case of confirmation bias on your part. You've seen it happen a few times, and so you think it happens all the time. The Blue Jays did strike out looking 5 times today, but I mean, I don't quite understand how you see that as a major issue that's working to the detriment of this team, especially when you add that full count thing. I don't know. Did it happen with a full count today even?
The number of times this year, with the exception of the past couple of weeks, where they'll have bases loaded and nobody out, and it gets to be 2 outs, full count, and somebody will go down looking again, you know?
I kind of think you're making that up. I mean, not intentionally or anything like that. But I would imagine that maybe has happened 4 times this year.
Okay, yeah, I'll like I said, I'm not sure of how many times, but...
Well, you did say all the time at the beginning of your call.
I'll go with you, but it's just, you know, it's just a frustrating thing to see.
Whenever it happens, it's a frustrating thing to see. But honestly, out of the list of things to worry about the Toronto Blue Jays, that may be a good 486th on the list, I have to tell you. But I appreciate the call nonetheless. Blue Jays lose it 10-2 to the Baltimore Orioles. Angelo is in Brampton. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for calling.
So I think that this is one of those games you just kind of throw away, forget about, never talk about, and come back tomorrow and just kick some ass. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of people talking about how, oh, Stroman should be replacing Hutch because, oh, look at the game he had tonight, and it's automatic that we just get rid of Hutch and give up on him, and you'll get your fire gibbies and bring back Valencias, and Tulowitzki should be leading off, and,
we
you
should
know,
be.
We
that
always
one's right, at least.
Looking, as you as the last caller just said, so I wonder how many more people are going to make stuff up, but you know what? I was listening to the guys before the game, you know, with their World Series pick, and I know you did that thing yesterday, and I think nobody on the panel picked the Jays. I got to tell you, in a seven-game series, I don't know a team that can actually beat the Jays 4 times. Like, I just don't think there's a team in the AL that we can't dominate. And, you know, yeah, with the disadvantage in the NL of having to have the pitcher bat, I don't see how you guys aren't picking the Jays. I don't see it.
Well,
so maybe you can give me some insight, and it's okay to be a homer. It's okay to love the Jays, but what do you think? Why not the Jays for the World Series?
I can't tell you why other people make the selections that they make. I don't make those kind of predictions because I think they're folly, and there's no way to it's just a guess. You might as well throw a dart at a board. But to your point, the truth is any team can beat the Blue Jays in a seven-game series, and the Blue Jays can beat any team in a seven-game series because the truth of the matter is as much as we want to talk about how, you know, championships are won and what that means, and it's a wonderful thing to win a championship, it doesn't mean that your team is better. It means your team had a better week. And a best of seven honestly reveals nothing in the game of baseball as to which team is better. And maybe that's why people are hedging their bets a little bit. But look, and maybe there's the perception that you don't want to be seen as a homer. But here's the truth. The truth is the argument can easily be made that the Blue Jays are the best team in baseball and easily be made that they're the best team in the American League. Now, does the best team always win? No. Does the best team usually win? No. Once you get into the playoffs, it's a complete and utter crapshoot because after that wild card game, which legitimately, I mean, the Rockies could beat the Blue Jays in a one-game wild card. But after that one-game wild card, it's a best 3 of 5. And a best 3 of 5 tells you nothing. Anything can happen. So, yeah, the Blue Jays have as good a chance as anybody to win the World Series. I'll say that. But that they're going to win it, you can't. You can't say that. You'd love to see them win it. I think it would be awesome. But yeah, again, there's so much up to chance in a short series, unfortunately, especially in baseball. Appreciate the call. Before we get to another call, let's hear from the skipper. Blue Jays just get good and thumped 10-2 by the Baltimore Orioles. And here's what John Gibbons had to say about it.
Gibby, do you have an explanation for what happened to Hutch in that inning?
Well, yeah, he got hit around. You know, he was throwing fine, and then bam, it happened fast. I think, you know, I don't know, 5-6 pitches, they did all their damage, and then we gave it up late too. That, you know, they opened it up, but yeah, I thought, you know, he was throwing fine. He's a team he's been tough on, and it just it happened fast.
Gibby, that's the first time since April 24th that you guys have lost by 8 runs or more. What does that say, though, about the fact that how good this team's been? I guess people start to get used to seeing you guys win every night, that these ones just seem so rare.
Yeah, they have been rare. I mean, we've been playing such good baseball. But, yeah, they got a powerful lineup over there, you know, and if you don't pitch well against them, they can pound you. You know, they're used to playing a great hitter's park. They come to a place like this, our whole division, you know, they get got a power pack lineup, just like ours. So, but it did feel a little bit weird. I can remember thinking I hadn't been out there on the field to take somebody out when we're lopsided game like that, you know. So, yeah, hopefully bounce back tomorrow.
John, it seemed like last year Drew was able to kind of avoid those innings kind of getting away from him, and this year it seems to have kind of been a bit of a problem. Is there any kind of explanation for that, or is that kind of one of the biggest differences you've seen from him last year compared to this year?
Well, I mean, at home this year, I don't know if that's, you know, I agree with that, but you know, one thing he does, you know, if he gets it through the first few innings, you know, he kicks it in pretty good, and he does it on, you know, minimal pitches, and you know, he kind of finds his groove in the middle innings. And that's what the feeling was, you know. I mean, you know, we tied it up 2, felt really good out there, going back out there, you know. Chris Davis is hot right now. I mean, he burned us twice tonight, you know. But they got a good lineup. I mean, their lineup's like ours. There's not much breathing room in there, you know. And if, they keep coming at you, and you got to execute hitter after hitter.
You mentioned it happened fast. When you're kind of seeing Drew in that spot where he's getting hit and he's not able to make an adjustment, you don't have a lot of pitches. How do you balance needing to give a guy rope because he's pitched well to that point and then kind of making the decision, all right, it's not happening for him right now?
Well, I mean, I thought he was fine going into that sixth inning. You know, he was strong. I mean, he really hit. I mean, he didn't labor at all. Like I said, it happened fast. You know, really. But yeah, you know, this part of September, you know, he's one of your starters. You lean on him. I don't think you could, you know, you panic and yank him after five innings. I don't think you start doing that. Because he's been good. He's been really good at home. So I don't think anybody does that. You know, so.
You're 0-for-3 now when a party leader visits. Do you have any message to politicians hoping to come to the ballpark?
Stay away. Stay away.
John, the umpire issued warnings to the benches?
Yes.
Do you think it was warranted?
Well, they always do now, basically. You know, there's been a little history with the two teams. So I think it was the base umpire that came in and did it. You know, he had a young guy behind the plate, yeah. I mean, it happens all the time, so that doesn't surprise me.
John, you guys had Ubaldo on the ropes there in the fourth and fifth inning, but you're only able to squeeze out the one run. Was he doing something that you found confused the hitters today?
Well, Jimenez, he's always been tough on us. I mean, you go back, you know, when he arrived here in Baltimore a couple years ago, every time we face him, you know, we've scored some runs off him, but he basically shut us down a number of times, you know, and then. You know, we had some. I mean, we worked some walks. We had some, you know, double play balls. They rolled the double play balls tonight, and you know, is what you know really held us in check. But yeah, he's got great stuff. He's got great life on his fastball. You know, more than most, and he sticks it against us pretty good.
And he did again tonight. Blue Jays lose a 10-2 to the Baltimore Orioles. And when John Gibbons says it happened fast, he's right. Drew Hutchison allowed one hit over the third, fourth, and fifth innings, and he only threw six pitches in the fifth. And then he threw eight pitches in the sixth and allowed five hits. That's how fast it happened. Hutchison wound up giving up the four runs there, went from 2-2 to 6-2, and the Blue Jays lose 10-2. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Welcome back to Rogers Center. Blue Jays lose it 10-2 to the Baltimore Orioles. It's the first time the Blue Jays have lost by more than three runs since the 4th of July. 2 months to the date. And who beat them that day? Some guy named David Price. He's pitching for the Blue Jays tomorrow as they continue this series against the Baltimore Orioles, against the rookie Mike Wright, and as pointed out by Megan Goldie here in our booth, yes, it's Price and Wright. Tomorrow, as the Blue Jays look to bounce back. They lost a series opener to the Indians, came back and won the series. They'll try to do the same thing to the Baltimore Orioles tomorrow. The Blue Jays are now a half game up on the New York Yankees for first place in the AL East. The Yankees took down Tampa Bay 5-2, three home runs off Jake Odorizzi. Those were the only three hits he gave up. We're on the air tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. Eastern to 107. First pitch again, David Price against Mike Wright. And Blue Jays talk continues on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet590.ca. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Jason Leung, and Mark Boffo, good night. Hit high in the air and deep to left field. Back goes Revere. He's at the track. He leaps, and it's off his glove and out of the ballpark. Home run for Matt Wieters. Ben Revere went up to try to get it, and he knocked it over the wall in left field. One of two things that happened in tonight's Blue Jays game that I've never seen before at a Major League Baseball stadium. Ben Revere going up and not over the wall. It would have hit the wall if he hadn't touched it, but he knocked it out of the ballpark for a home run by Matt Wieters. And then, in the bottom of the sixth inning, Troy Tulowitzki, overrunning first base, making a turn towards second, having to come back to the bag as Matt Wieters was trying to tag him with a dive, and he leapt up and over Wieters, landed with his foot on first base, and he was safe. And that was a fantastic play. Didn't wind up mattering as the Blue Jays wind up losing 10-2, the final score. Blue Jays fall to the Baltimore Orioles. The Jays did lose the series opener to the Cleveland Indians on Monday, and they came back and won the series. So certainly not beyond them, especially with the Orioles in free fall right now. They've still lost 12 of their last 15 games. But the Blue Jays' lead in the AL East has been cut to just a half game. This is the first time in 9 days that the Blue Jays and Yankees have not had the same result. So it's the first time the AL East division lead has changed from a game and a half. It is now just half a game, Blue Jays over the Yankees. And in case you're wondering, the Texas Rangers in Anaheim tonight hold the second wild card. And the Texas Rangers are 5.5 games behind the Blue Jays. So the Blue Jays and Minnesota's even farther back. So Blue Jays would have to fall 6.5 or 7 games to be out of a playoff spot at this point, even if they do fall into the wild card. And they still have 7 games left against the New York Yankees. And really, that's the important stuff that's going to happen as this season continues. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk. Taking your calls right up until 11 o'clock Eastern when Roger Lajoie will take over with Sportsnet tonight. Eddie is in Toronto. Hello, Eddie.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Listen, I got something to say here. Can this Toronto media please stop this love affair, this love fest that they got going on with Troy Tulowitzki? I mean, you know, any time that there's runners on bases and this guy's up and there's two out, you might as well go get a cold drink because you know exactly what's going to happen. He grounds out. He does this. Listen, I'm not saying he's a magnificent infielder. He plays great defense. I see it all the time. He fields the ball. They throw it in slow motion every time it's going to a commercial. But that stuff's not bringing home the bacon. The Yankees are breathing down our neck. These Orioles are coming up behind
us. No, they're not.
The Rangers are up there. We got to stop this. Never mind. I heard him in an interview complaining that he's got to live in a hotel with his 2-year-old son and all this sort of stuff. Oh, really, Mr. Tulowitzki? You got to live in a hotel? Boo-hoo. You know what? It's, you know, we got to start criticizing this guy.
Why?
He's up there.
Why?
You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean. I think you're a lunatic. Well, maybe not. I mean, that's a little harsh. But, no, I think you're not understanding who Troy Tulowitzki is, and it's because you probably had never heard of him until the Blue Jays traded for him the last week of the season. What you have to understand is that this guy may be the best all-around shortstop in the game of baseball, period. End of story. That's it. Troy Tulowitzki is a magnificent hitter. He's got a career batting average of .297. He's got a career OPS of .880. He has not performed up to his capabilities as a Blue Jay. There is no question that he has not performed up to his capability as a Blue Jay. But even in this slumpingness that he's done, going into tonight's game, he had a .336 on base, which is still quite lovely. As far as driving in runs, he had 13 RBIs in 31 games, which is, you know, not terrific. But when you're talking about a guy who you can go to the fridge for, that's a pace of close to a 70 RBI season of a guy who spent the overwhelming majority of his time in the leadoff spot, A, and two, a guy who is slumping badly and not hitting up to his capabilities at all. So he's still doing pretty well for a guy who's not doing very well. And let's remember as well, 26-7. 26-7 since Troy Tulowitzki came to town. So quite obviously, he's not killing this team by any means.
A guy like this is crunch time. And when you have your players on base waiting for you to drive them in, these ground balls and these silly little caught-looking strikeouts, this is not going to cut it. This is not going to cut it. We got to take him to task on this type of stuff.
What do you mean take him to task on this kind of stuff? Do you think he's trying to get out?
Well, I just think the media here is very soft on Tulowitzki.
What would you like to happen?
Okay,
what would you like to have? You like a banner headline in the Toronto newspaper tomorrow that says Troy Tulowitzki sucks?
A story saying
Blue Jays really screwed this up. They should have kept Jose Reyes. What were they thinking? I mean, what do you want?
Colorado wanted him out.
No, actually, Colorado didn't want him out. They wanted to get rid of a contract, which is fine. But no, you say the Toronto media is too soft on Tulowitzki. First of all, like that matters. But second of all, what would you like? Tell me what would make you happy.
you know what? I would like when he's up there, and he rarely gives interviews. He's not a very media-friendly guy to begin with.
He's not unfriendly at all. He's never denied anybody an interview as far as I know. Continue.
Well, I mean, I just think that, you know, there should be more questions being raised about his play. I mean,
what sort of questions? What do you suggest?
Well, we should say, Troy, where are you? Where is the 10-time All-Star from Colorado? Like, where are you here? Let's see that here. We need you here. We bought you here for this.
You see, know, this is I have guy? A problem. I have a problem guy. With this kind of stuff. Because it's not as though there's been any lack of effort. He's not complaining about being here. He's loving the fact that this is a team that's winning and that, you know, the Rockies were like 100 games under 500 over the last 5 years while he was playing with them. When there's a lack of effort, when there's a guy who's moping around, when there's a guy who's, you know, angry, who doesn't want to play, that sort of thing, then fine, you take that person to task. Absolutely. Not that it, again, makes a difference how the media treats somebody. I think there's some idea that the media has all this power over players' performance. But none of that's happening. Troy Tulowitzki is trying to get hits. And he's like you said, he's playing magnificent defense. And the team is winning at historical levels since he got here. So I think you're being kind of harsh and unfair, to be honest with you. But I do want to get to some more callers, so I appreciate you having your say. Rob's in Toronto. Rob, you're next.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Rob, go ahead.
I should know this, but I just don't. I'm wondering, when Tulo went past first,
yep,
hangs a left,
yep,
comes back,
uh-huh,
didn't Wieters touch the bag, and shouldn't he be out?
Yes and no. Wieters touched the bag, but the force play is off because Tulowitzki had already run through the bag. So if you want to get him out, you have to tag him. And Wieters didn't tag him.
If he goes left,
yep,
is he not automatically out when they touch the bag, though?
No, because he's okay. Already touched first base. It's like overrunning any other base. You know, if a guy runs past second and somebody steps on second base, he's not out. You got to tag the guy.
I appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you very much for years and years of entertainment.
I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. Blue Jays didn't do much entertaining tonight except for that play by Troy Tulowitzki. That was fantastic. They lose it 10-2 to the Baltimore Orioles, and their lead in the AL East is down to a half a game. We're taking your calls right up until 11 o'clock Eastern, and let's go to Jeffrey in Fergus. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, sir. No, I'll get straight to the point. I don't want to drone on, but I just wanted to ask you about a quick question about the Rogers Center.
Sure.
Every now and again, a few people ask if Toronto's going to get a new stadium. And I heard one person say, I don't know if it was Bob McCown or Jeff Blair or somebody said there the other day, that they're thinking if it were ever to be done, they maybe do a retractable roof like Houston's got, but I think that Toronto's got a pretty good stadium with what they have. I know you spend a lot of time there, and I think they're the only MLB team that has a hotel there too. Like, I think that's a good stadium. I think they can probably run for another 20 or 30 years. What do you think about the Rogers Center?
Well, it's only 26 years old right now, and I don't think it's going anywhere because Rogers didn't pay anything for it. You know, if you pick a stadium up for $25 million, and it makes you really, really not inclined to build a new one, especially since the way that the feeling of the populace is these days, I don't think they're going to be able to get government money to build a new stadium. So you deal with what you have and you pretty it up if you feel like you need to. But I don't have a problem with Rogers Center at all. I mean, it's not falling apart by any means. Certainly we just did miss the boat because Rogers Center went up in 89 and a couple of years later it was Camden Yards and it was gorgeous and there was all these retro ballparks and a whole new era began. And you know, you have the places like Houston and Milwaukee and Seattle and those stadia with retractable roofs that are absolutely gorgeous. And Rogers Center, unfortunately, doesn't hold a candle to any one of those places. But this still works, and it's pretty good. And you know what? I think they're talking about putting a dirt infield in as soon as next season. They're still looking at getting grass here in the next 3 or 4 years. Mark Shapiro is going to have a lot to do with that as a new president of the Blue Jays and figure out what to do with Rogers Center and how to pretty it up. The truth is there's only so much you can do, but the truth is also it's a fine Major League Baseball stadium, and I think the Blue Jays are going to be here for a while. Eddie in Fort Erie, welcome aboard.
Thanks a lot, Mike. I just wanted to talk about what happened tonight, of course. I wasn't really happy with how Drew Hutchison ended the game. I mean, it's not the first time where he has found a way to shot himself in the foot after his team either gives him the lead or they tie it up to him. I mean, that sixth inning was totally unacceptable. It really was. I mean, when you're because clearly I thought the Blue Jays had a chance to win tonight because Jimenez was throwing the ball really, really low. He walked six guys.
Yep.
That to me was unacceptable. It really was. And I think, you know, I don't want to say that he should be taken out of the rotation, but I think Hutchison had an opportunity to really show that he can, you know, pitch his way maybe onto the postseason roster. But I think with Stroman coming up, I think the pressure got, you know, is starting to mount just a little bit on him. You know, I think.
I don't think that's true at all. I think that he had a bad run right there. He gave up a ground ball single to Adam Jones the other way when. The Blue Jays were shifting him, so there was only one defender on that side. Then he gave up a bomb to Chris Davis. That was serious. And then he gave up a really hard hit fly ball to Matt Wieters that went in and out of the glove of Ben Revere at the wall. Would have been an amazing catch, and it was a hard hit ball, absolutely, but it's a ball that you would think if it hits a guy right in the pocket of his glove is going to get caught. Then he gave up a ground ball double. Then he gave up a hard hit single, and then he came out of the game. It happened really fast. It happened on 8 pitches. Two balls were hit well out of the five, the two home runs. But I mean, I'm not going to get into it. I have a whole problem with the word unacceptable. I think, you know, when I hear something's unacceptable, that means that guy loses his job right away. If it's that bad, that's it. Drew Hutchison has had a real up and down season with a lot more downs than ups. And tonight was another down. And, you know, he's not going to be in the postseason rotation if nobody gets hurt the rest of the way. It's just not going to happen. He's very clearly their fifth best starter, and now he may be their sixth best with Marcus Stroman getting set to come back. But let's see what Marcus Stroman does on Monday, and let's see what Marcus Stroman does when he gets the ball in the big leagues before we're ready to say that he's going to ride on his white horse and save the day. I mean, I'm just as excited as Marcus Stroman as anybody else. I really am. I think the sky's the limit for him, and I have a ton of faith in the guy, but I want to see it first. But I don't think he just swoops in and takes Drew Hutchison's job immediately because Drew Hutchison had a bad 8-pitch run in the sixth inning today.
Understood, Mike. Thanks.
All right. Thanks for the call. Again, Drew Hutchison very, very clearly the last starter on the list in the rotation. He had a chance to kind of push his stock up a little bit because another really good start today would have been 4 in a row, and you would have been confident with him going into Yankee Stadium next weekend. Pitching. Yeah, he's going to pitch the last game at Fenway on the 9th. And he won't be pitching at Yankee Stadium unless they juggle the rotation again around a little bit. But, look, it happened really fast. And again, two hard hit balls, two ground balls that got through. But it really feels like a major implosion in that sixth inning. Gary in Welland. Gary, you're next on Jay's Talk. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Mike. I wanted to talk about Edwin's three-homer game last weekend. I think it was Saturday.
Yeah, the 9 RBI day. That was pretty awesome.
Then I think his first at-bat on Sunday, he hit a solo shot.
He did.
And I don't know whether, I haven't listened to you this week, haven't been able to hear you this week, but was there a discussion about a homer cycle and whether anybody's done it in one game or done it over two games the way he did?
There, people had discussed it. I don't think it's ever been done in one game. I don't know, to be honest, if it's ever been done over two games, but I think we would have found out since he did do it over two games if any other people had done it. But I haven't heard that it's ever happened.
I thought maybe you had some crack research team there that you had access to that could look that stuff up for us.
No, Elias Sports Bureau is the only one with that crack research, research crew for sure. And, again, I haven't heard anything about homering for the cycle over two games. It may have happened. It's hard to imagine it hasn't over the 120 years or 100, I guess, 13 years of Major League Baseball. But I don't know. But it's still pretty cool whether it's happened or not before. It's still pretty cool.
How many ABs did it take him? Was it five or six?
It was six.
Six?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Seems to have cooled off a bit, but we need them, that's for sure.
Need them all. That's the way it works. But, I mean, teams don't go 26-6 very often, and so there will be losses to come. And more than this. Hopefully not as painful as this, but this one does kind of suck. But the Blue Jays, I mean, again, the likelihood of them winning 100 games is almost it's tiny. And if they don't do that, they're losing twice a week for the rest of the season, at least. So be prepared. There are going to be some games like this. Carlos in Markham. Hey, Carlos.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
I just wanted to say I've been listening to the show for a couple of years, and first of all, I wanted to say, like, I'm happy for you as a broadcaster to be. I see that your energy has increased, obviously, talking about the Blue Jays since the last couple of years. They're doing awesome. I want to say for the fan support, like, I've been just listening to the previous callers. Everybody that's talking down on the Jays, we've been thirsty for, you know, since 93. I don't understand why we're all complaining. Why can't we just enjoy it? We've been hoping for a team, for any Toronto franchise team to be a legitimate number one. We are up there in the rankings. ESPN Power Rankings has us at second, I believe. Like, we're up there. Yeah, people are saying, can other teams take us out in, you know, in a seven-game or a five-game series? Anything happens in the playoffs. I just hate listening to the negativity. Yeah, they lost a game. It's bound to happen, you know. We're not going to always go on 16, 17, 18-game win streaks. You know, it's going to end there, and we're going to have bumps across the road. Tulowitzki's playing fine. Defensively, hey, at shortstop, so the previous caller that was saying about Tulowitzki can't hit, but every defensive play, you're not looking at it and being worried that he's not going to throw it over to first base or complete a double play. Just want to see your input on that.
Well, that's very, very true. I mean, he's been fantastic defensively. He hasn't made an error since he got here, and I can only remember one ball that was hit that I thought Troy Tulowitzki should have had that he didn't in the month-plus that he's been here, and he's gotten to a heck of a lot of balls that I didn't think he was going to get to and turn those into outs. So, yeah, no complaints there. And as far as the offense, it's going to come. You know what? People are who they are, and who Troy Tulowitzki is a really, 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 really good major league hitter. So I'm not worried at all about the offense coming around for him. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Nice little breath of sunshine here on Blue Jays Talk when the Jays lose 10-2. To the Baltimore Orioles. Pete's in Aurora. Hey, Pete.
Hey, Mike. So they got spanked tonight. It was a little overdue, but I'm probably the only one, I guess I had about 40,000 plus there who probably didn't appreciate it, but I did because I think it was overdue, and that's the way it goes, and I'm glad that the Yankees are keeping pace because, as Don Cherry says, battle-hardened going into the playoffs, can't beat it.
It's an interesting theory. I mean, I'd kind of rather not have to sweat it out, but there is something to be said for playing 2 months of playoff games before you get into the playoffs, although you can kind of run out of gas too, right?
Yeah, well, it's not the same sport, but
no,
you do see it in hockey where somebody gets in by the skin of their teeth and they just keep her going.
And yeah, seven very, games, but it's,
seven
it's a
game, seven
very,
games.
Very different game.
And they take, yeah, it is, but they take out a guy or a team that that sweeps, and they're sitting there for cooling out for a week or so, and then they get these guys that are battle-tested. So the more competitive the division is going in, I think the better they'll be in the long run.
We shall see, maybe. I mean, I don't really think there's any way to actually prove whether that's true or not. But yeah, well, the future will tell what the future tells. So I'm not sure, quite sure I buy that. I think it's nice to be able to rest your guys when you have to, and when you need to, and give guys a breather and set your rotation and all of that stuff. But it can be hard to ramp up the intensity if you've taken your foot off the gas as a race dwindles away with a lot of time left. Appreciate the call, Pete. I want to sneak one more in, and then we'll hear from Drew Hutchison. Rhonda is in Ottawa. Hey, Rhonda, Ottawa, not so much for the Blue Jays here. When Stephen Harper was here, they lost. And when Tom Mulcair was here, they lost. And Justin Trudeau was here tonight, and they lost. I don't know if we're loving Ottawa so much.
Well, we're loving the Jays.
Oh, well,
and
good.
I just wanted to say that, you know, welcome to meaningful games in September. Isn't this wonderful? And I just wanted to remind Blue Jays fans that the 2000 Yankees, who went on to win the World Series, held a 9-game lead with 18 games to play, went 3-15, and still managed to win. And the scores of some of those games were 11-1, 15-4, 16-3, 15-4, 11-1, 11-3, and 9-1. So it happens.
It does.
And I just think that it's fantastic that we hang on every pitch. This is fantastic. This is wonderful.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. You're right. It's been a long, long, long time coming. That's for sure. Thank you. Appreciate the call, Rhonda. And I hope people are enjoying it. And you know what? This is what meaningful September baseball is. This is, I mean, not tonight, but it's edge of your seat. It's hanging on every pitch. And it's awesome. And we're finally getting a chance to enjoy it. Drew Hutchison didn't enjoy so much today. He gave up 4 runs in the 6th inning, and it was to take a 2-2 tie into a 6-2 deficit, and the Blue Jays wound up falling by a score of 10-2. Here's what Hutchison had to say after the game.
First 5 innings, did the 6th just kind of happen so fast before you could even really kind of catch your breath all of a sudden there?
No, I just made some bad pitches. I thought I was throwing the ball, you know, real well through the first 5. I was able to have a quick inning there in the 5th. We're able to tie it up in the bottom of the 5th, and you know, you need to go out there and have a shutdown inning. I made my pitch to Jones, you know, with the single, and then you know, there's no excuse for the home run. The second one to Davis, you know, it was a pitch away off the plate, but if you're going to go there against him, it's got to be down. You know, just a bad pitch, and you know, same could be said the next one with Wieters, just a little bit too, not down enough, and you know, he's a strong guy. So you know, just disappointing to, you know, feel good and be throwing the ball, you know, so well, and us come back and tie it, and you know, you need to go out there up a 0 and give us a chance to take it from there, and I didn't do that.
Kerman, when an inning starts to really snowball like that, are you looking to maybe you should have taken more time to go and collect yourself, that things might have been rushing a bit for you?
No, I just think I made bad pitches. You know, I made my pitch, like I said, to Jones, and, you know, he took it the other way, and, you know, I got a base hit, and then the next one, you know, I just made a bad pitch to Davis, and, you know, the same with Wieters. And then after that, just, you know, missing location. It's, you know, just not executing pitches like I did the first 5 innings.
You like to be aggressive when you're aggressive to a fault?
I don't know. You know, this team is a free-swinging team, so they're going to put the ball in play. You know, a lot of times that can work out good. You know, you can keep your pitch count low and get really deep into the game. Teams like that, you know, you're going to give up hits on the first pitch. But when you execute quality pitches, they're not going to be home runs or doubles. So, you know, I just need to do a better job of getting our team back in the dugout and, you know, not allowing them to score runs, you know, after we tie it up.
Drew, what did you like over the first 5 innings?
I thought I commanded the ball well. You know, I gave up the solo shot there. You know, on a pitch that, you know, I executed. I've had a lot of success against Davis, you know, in the past, and I just didn't tonight. You know, I thought I did a good job. I got quick outs. You know, the defense was playing great behind me. Like I said, anytime you tie the game up, you need to go out there and put up a 0, and I didn't do that.
Drew Hutchison had a lot of success against Chris Davis. Coming into tonight, Davis was 4 for 20 against him and had struck out 9 times. Not so much tonight. Took him deep twice as the Blue Jays fall 10-2 to the Baltimore Orioles. Thanks for all the calls. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. We will do this again tomorrow. Blue Jays and Orioles were on the air at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for the pregame show. A 107 first pitch. David Price against Mike Wright. Blue Jays trying to knot the series up. We'll see you then.